recording's on.
Thank you very much for your very beautiful words of introduction. Very moving. I'm very thrilled to be able to be here this evening. I think I was originally scheduled to be here this morning, but I was out of town, and I think there was also some, in addition to logistical issues. But I'm very pleased that we were able to, you know, find a way for me to participate in the installation. Schreier is a very special Talmud, not just because he said those very nice things about me, but he's been a Talmud for many, many years, and a special gifted, but, you know, not just his intellectual gifts, his, you know, he's Vishinanta Levanecha, Banecha, Talmidecha, you know, in every sense of the word. And therefore, it's really personal, with a sense of great personal nachas and simcha, you know, that I participate in, you know, his being Ola Legedula, becoming installed as a Rav of this very special kehila. I also know this kehila for many, many years, and it's Rabbanim, and I've had many wonderful Talmidim who grew up here, and many of the Balabatim, president as a Talmud, and many of the other leading Balabatim are people who I have great regard and friendship and respect for their leadership of this community, but also their leadership in the broader community. So it's, you know, it's like a shidduch, you know, or a shutfus, you know, when the right rabbi connects with the right Beis HaKnesses or Kehila, even more so, that's, you know, something that, like a real shidduch, you know, is not a simple matter. It's also kasha kikriyas yamsuf. I'm sure the, you know, the committee probably feels that way. but when it works out, you know, in the same way, when you have a very, you know, unique, you know, Talmud, and he finds the right place, and this is a shul, which, you know, it really, I think, sets tone in, we were actually discussing this in another context, in terms of its halachic integrity and the standards that it continues to project at a time when, you know, there are all sorts of things going on in the world and in the Jewish community. So to have a shul that stands for traditional Masora, classical, idealistic standards, and at the same time is effective and able to address, you know, the contemporary world, and to find the right rav is not easy, but when you witness it, it's really a source for great simcha. So both on a personal level and a communal level, because of my regard for the shul, because of my special bond with Rav Schreier, it's really, really special for me to be here. So the shir that I thought we would, we're not going to go for too long to this evening. I know there was a big event this morning. We'll take that into consideration. But I thought that I would examine, at least briefly, some aspects of the concept of rabbinic authority, to try to examine some, at least one issue, and some of the components and motifs that apply to classic smicha, rabbinic ordination, but also that are replayed in other iterations of rabbinic authority that are sometimes called smicha, even though they aren't the original smicha. I'll explain what I mean by all that in a moment. This, of course, is an important topic technically and halachically, just to understand where rabbinic authority comes from and what its stature is bizmanenu. Not going to be able to illuminate all aspects of that in the short time that we have this evening, but I think it also comprises, when properly understood, a formula for the profile of a rav in a kehila. And again, the blend of idealism and pragmatism, as we'll discuss, that is the sine qua non, that is the basis for manhigut ruchanit, spiritual leadership, that has always been from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad liyameinu anu. We still need the same kind of, you know, profile, the same kind of you know, integrity, and the same kind of flexibility that we had from the very beginning. Every generation encounters its own challenges. We can't run away from them, and every generation requires that halachically we address these challenges in a way which is rooted in and anchored in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but with the methodology handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu of how exactly, you know, we are in every generation, you know, to relate to challenges and to opportunities. So I think if this is an important topic, even though we can't fully encompass it, at least to speak about some of the Rashi prakim. So having done that, let's turn our attention to the topic at hand. The source for rabbinic authority generally is a complex one, as I already just indicated, not only due to the issues that I'm briefly going to touch on, encompassed by the topic, but even the, you know, it's kind of symbolically captured by the terminological difficulty. Like, what do you call rabbinic authority in our time? We call it smicha, but that has a very specific meaning. And part of the issue is the extent to which that original paradigm of smicha, of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua, Yehoshua subsequently to those who followed his Talmidim, the extent to which that still applies to other phases of rabbinic authority. And there's even a lot of historical factual confusion, which I'm not going to clarify this evening either, regarding when different stages of rabbinic authority and ordination, when they ended, uncertain conceptual interrelationship of at least three different halachic institutions that I am going to speak briefly about this evening, but simply, you know, just to understand what these institutions are, when they existed, itself is challenging. So let me explain what I mean. The Talmudic term smicha, ordination, is referred to already in the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin on the base Omud Aleph. But that also is very fascinating because, you know, the Mishnah speaks about smicha on the base Omud Aleph, and it's actually a major debate among the Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, no less, as to what is being referred to in this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that smicha skenim Varifas Egla Bishlosha Divrab Shimon Rabunobra Bechamisha. What is Smichas Zakenim? So Rashi actually says that this is actually a reference to the Smicha of Par Halam Davar Shal Tzibor, something that is spoken of in the Torah in Parshas Vayikra, the special korban that is brought when the majority of Klal Yisrael as a collective are nichshal in a particular aveira. However, the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis clearly talks about this source for how many, you know, you need for that smichas kenim. In addition to talking about the psukim of Parhlam Davar Shal Tzibor, which it speaks about, also then branches out to a discussion of what's known as mismach savi, which is the smicha of zakenim, meaning Talmid HaChachamim, Zeh Shekana Chachma. And the Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnayos, both in Sanhedrin and in Masechet Bechoros, thinks that the Mishnah itself, when it talks about Smichas Kenim, although certainly it's also referring to the Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibor, actually has an intentional double meaning, that the Mishnah used a phrase which would cover, which would double for both of those things. Now, what the connection is between Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibor and Smicha Sekenim, that we're not going to speak about tonight, but that's a very interesting topic, especially in the worldview of the Rambam. Maybe we'll allude to it. But the Yerushalmi, for example, doesn't use the phrase smicha when it actually makes reference to rabbinic authority. Instead, it talks about minui dayanim, the appointment to be a judge. And we'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes, what the relationship of those two things are. In any case, the first level of smicha, the classic smicha, the original smicha, refers to, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's inaugurating a new cadre of leadership, beginning with Yehoshua, and then, of course, extending to the Shivim Zakenim. the first recipient, Yehoshua, etc., who received smicha biadayim, as we call it, ordination where the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu was symbolically, you know, placed upon him. That's something that requires a bezin of three, which we'll discuss. The involvement of a donor, samuch, meaning there has to be somebody who himself, you know, has that status and now passes it on or bequeaths it, transmits it to a different party. We'll hopefully get to the Gemara in a moment. The story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's dramatic sacrifice to try to ensure or guarantee, safeguard the continuity of smicha, even in a time of persecution. He put his life at risk in order to, you know, continue smicha to the next generation. This process needs to take place in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that not only does the somech need to be in Eretz Yisrael, but the nismach, the recipient of the smicha, needs to be there as well. That in itself is a very fascinating requirement. On the surface, it's hard to understand why rabbinic authority can only, of the highest level, can only be transmitted in Eretz Yisrael, when you consider, as the Gemara itself says, that once one receives the title and the license, and more important, the status, that that applies bein ba'aretz or bein b'chutz la'aretz. Sanhedrin, noheges, bein ba'aretz or bein b'chutz la'aretz, as the Mishnah tells us in Makos. You can actually be done, you can adjudicate dine nefashos, capital crimes, and dine knossos, both of which require smicha, anywhere, right here in, you know, in Tinek, if you had smuchim. But the smuchim themselves can only receive, can only attain that status in Eretz Yisrael, when the samuch and the masmich, or the nismach and the masmich, are both present in Eretz Yisrael. They don't necessarily, as the Rambam notes, have to be present in the same venue, but both of them have to be present, both of them have to be located in Eretz Yisrael. In any case, this is the rabbinic ordination that is a prerequisite for being done dine knossos, penalties, things like kefel and dalad vehei, and other such things, and even more importantly, capital crimes, dine nefashos, ideally maybe even gzelos v'chavalos, etc. That's what we mean technically when we refer to the concept of rabbinic ordination of smicha. And yet, sometimes, according to some authorities, that same term is used, and this is a debate, to refer to another institution that we also find delineated or developed in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Daf Hey Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, we'll look at it in a minute, speaks about the concept of netilas rishus mireish galusa, that you have to receive a license, if you will, to practice from the titular, like, legal authority of the Jewish community, who was the Reish Galusa in Babel, and the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. And without that, there were consequences, as we'll see in a moment, with regard to kind of malpractice insurance issues, like what happens if a dayan renders a judgment and it turns out that he was mistaken. So the extent to which he is then exposed in terms of his liability for the mistake that he makes, or simply his ability, according to the Rambam, to be kofet, to you know, to coerce, to ensure that people listen to the din, all of this is connected to this other secondary institution called Netilas Rishus Mireish Gelusa. It's interesting that the Rebbe Beirav, who tried to institute, I'll get back to this in a second, smicha in the 16th century, and was supported, for a time at least, by Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, was convinced that the sugya of Netilas Rishus, and there are roots in the Rishonim that support this, which we'll briefly allude to, Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa is a form of, or an aspect, a dimension of smicha. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of integration between, you know, some of the rules of smicha and the rules of netilas rishus, mireish galusa, or from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Beirav. Some of the Nosei Kalim in the Rambam suggest that some of the innovative conclusions that the Rambam reached with regard to classical smicha, you know, the original type, as I was talking about before, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua, that some of the rules, some of the parameters of how you do that really come from the Sugya and Sanhedrin that deals with Netilas Rishus, Mireish Galusa, and Menanasi, implying that although we're dealing with different aspects of rabbinic authority, that there is an overlap between them. They work in a similar way. They're perceived to be linked or connected, integrated aspects as well. And that has implications, as we will discuss. The third type, since we're on a tight, you know, budget time-wise, call it, according to many, the modern type of smicha, is something that the Gemara develops on Daf Hei Omid Beis in Matzachat Sanhedrin. I'll read that Gemara in a minute as well. And that is called Netilas Rishus Mirabo, where a person, in order to practice, in order to be able to render Piskei Halacha, right, also needs to get the approval, the endorsement, the approbation of his Rebbe. And the way that that comes about in the Gemara is a little bit puzzling, as we'll see, on first glance, and like all puzzling things, you know, in the halacha, you know, once we invest, you know, and we analyze it and examine it, you know, I think it yields very profound insights and conclusions. This idea that netilas rishus mirabo, being, you know, approved, getting a license from one's rebbe, that constitutes, let's say, we'll call it the third phase, the modern phase of smicha, is something that was embraced, especially in the world of Ashkenaz in the 14th century. The Rivash has a very famous tshuva in which he discusses this idea, and others also picked up on this as the foundation for modern smicha. The Ri Barzaloni in Sefer Ashtaros has a shtar masmich in which he connects modern smicha, you know, to classical smicha, and so on. So the history of these institutions is something that is very fascinating, and that is very substantively significant as well. Even the question when classical smicha, ish mipi ish, mipi ish, mipi ish, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu, when that ended, is a matter of some confusion. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel, and in Sefer HaZchus in Masechet Gittin and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, suggests that by the 4th century already there was no classical smicha. Yet in the world of Bavel, the Gaonim seem to be dealing with some sort of actual smicha regarding the ability to be done dine knossos, which requires smicha, in the 11th century. So it's very confusing. As I say, what 14th century Ashkenazic smicha, and since then is a matter of debate. And I alluded to the fact that in the 16th century, there was an effort to reinstitute classic smicha, and that triggered a very heated, as you can imagine, debate. The main protagonists were the Ri Beirav and the Ralbach, two giants. The communities of Tzfat and Yerushalayim, you know, went to war really on these issues, and that was a controversy which involved the great, you know, Chachamim of its time, Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Mabit, you know, and so on and so forth, all the great Talmidei Chachamim of the 16th century. Based on the famous Chiddush of the Rambam in both Perashat Mishnayos and in his, of course, Perek Daled Sanhedrin, came to a very radical conclusion based on, you know, an analysis, a global analysis of history and halakha. Rambam came to the conclusion that the Makoros seem to indicate that Yemos HaMashiach cannot be inaugurated without first the presence of actual Batei Dinim, Bezin HaGadol. In other words, without Smicha, there can't be Yemos HaMashiach. Since there is no Smicha, the line of Ishmi Pi Ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, has been broken. That is something which is agreed by everyone. So the Rambam came to the fascinating conclusion that if all the different iterations of this in the Rambam's own work, that part of the controversy, if either all, that would be the best, or at least the majority of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were to agree to reinstitute Smicha, you know, that would it would be possible to start that line again. The Rambam said otherwise it would be impossible for Yemos HaMashiach to ever come. It's impossible for that to be impossible. Therefore, there has to be a methodology to reinstitute Smicha. And therefore, the Rambam says it must be through the consensus of Chachmei Yisrael, Be'eretz Yisrael. Somehow that can reestablish, you know, what Moshe Rabbeinu did, you know, way back, you know, in Parshas Bahalosha. Very fascinating, Rambam. So in the 16th century, this challenge was taken up by the Rebbe Rav, and let's say Rabbi Yosef Karo and others that supported him, and that triggered a very, very antagonistic response by the Rabach and others in the, you know, 19th century, in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, when people were, you know, had the vision, you know, to try to push the agenda of a return to Eretz Yisrael. So this idea of Chidush HaSmicha, you know, became renewed, and especially when the State of Israel was founded, it was, you know, a popular discussion whether or not this wasn't the time maybe to try to invoke, you know, the Rambam's Chidush HaSmicha. Once again, Rav Maimon wrote a famous book in which he tried to collect all the earlier material, especially from the 16th century, you know, the Kuntresim, about this controversial issue, which is very fascinating. So the topic of smicha, rabbinic ordination, the different stages and phases, all of this, I say, is some of it is shrouded in mystery, but it's all very fascinating and very relevant to rabbinic authority, not only in our time, but in any time. So let me zero in the time that I have, on one particular issue. It's crystallized in a way by the way that the Gemara describes smicha in Masechet Sanhedrin. As I mentioned, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin da Beis Amid Aleph refers to smicha skenim. According to Rashi, that has nothing to do with rabbinic ordination. According to the Rambam, it does. But either way, the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis in Sanhedrin definitely talks about our topic. And the Gemara says, Tana, smicha u smicha skenim begimel. Smicha and smicha skenim require three people to bestow or to bequeath it. The Gemara says, my smicha skenim. What is that? And are there two of them? Om Rabbi Yochanan, mismach savi. This refers to the smicha, the ordination of Talmidei Chachamim. And then the Gemara says, you know, what exactly? Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef, mismach savi b'shlosha minalan. How do you know that it takes three, you know, in order to bequeath or bestow smicha to another? Where does this come from? What's the makar? So the Gemara says, ilei memidichsiv v'yismoch es yadav alav, referring to the psukim in Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu, ihachi tasagi b'chad. Moshe Rabbeinu did it by himself. So how is that three people? That's one person. Says the Gemara, v'chiteima Moshe b'makob shivim b'chad koi, lest you say, well, Moshe Rabbeinu is one person, but he's not really one person. He represents the totality of rabbinic authority in his time. And that is the equivalent of the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph. So what Moshe Rabbeinu did is the equivalent of 71. Says the Gemara, Ihachi Libai Shiva V'chak. Then you should need 71. Either way, where does 3 come into it? We'll get that back to that in a minute. So the Gemara says, Kasha. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Omali Ravacha Berei Derava L'Ravashi. B'yada Mamish Samchinle? Do you actually have to put your hand on the recipient of the smicha? Says the Gemara, Amarle, Samchinle, this is the Girsa in our Gemara, in the Rambam's Girsa, Samchinle Bishma, the smicha takes place by naming the individual, a very fascinating Gemara, Korale Rebbe, B'yoy Vile Rishusa, L'meidan Dine Knasos. You call him, you give him the name, the title, Rebbe, right? And together with that, you give him the license to be done Dine Knossos. Okay. So I think that that formulation, to me, kind of crystallizes the main question. And that is, what is the relationship between these two components of smicha, as the Gemara describes it? Korile Rebbe, the nosein lo rishus ladun dine knasos. On the one hand, we see from the Gemara that first and foremost, rabbinic ordination and rabbinic authority is vested in stature, in a person, in a gavra. Korile Rebbe, right? First and foremost, we give him a name, a title. Typically, we're all hopefully substantive people, not superficial people, right? We know that titles are, can be very problematic. People fight for titles, but titles, of course, are also very symbolic. And what the first thing we're told about smicha, and maybe the main thing that we're told about smicha, is Korile Rebbe, is that it refers to a status and a stature. Later on, the Gemara tells the story of Rav Hoshea and Rav Netherov, who, didn't have luck enough to get smicha, because they were never in the same place at the right time for the people who wanted to give them smicha. So the Gemara says that Rabbi, Yochanan ben Zakkai was very upset about this. He felt really, really badly. The Gemara says, Rab Chanina v'Rab Hoshea v'kabishtaked Rab Yochanan l'mis mechindu. Rab Yochanan really wanted to give them smicha. He felt they really deserved it. It's good for Klal Yisrael, right? In addition to his personal nachas. So the Gemara says, lo hava mistaya milsa. But it never happened. So hava kamitztar tuva. He felt really badly about this lost opportunity. So the Gemara says, omrule, lo nitztar mar. They said to him, when they he found them, and he said, I really feel terrible. We were never able to pull this off. So they said to him, don't feel so badly. The anan mi base eli kasinan, dom rab shmuel bar nachman, or rab yonasan minayin chain is smach in the base eli, shenemar lo yeh zaken bebeisecha kol hayamim. It doesn't mean they won't grow old. It means they won't be officially zkenim, limismeche. Okay. So it's a very interesting gemara in its own right. The whole Ailey thing, we're not going to get to that this evening, but the Marsha, makes the following ha'ara. He says, the Gemara calls it Rabbi Yehoshia, and who was the other one? And Rabbi Chanina. He said, but they didn't get smicha, so they should not have been Rabbi, they should have been Rav. Rabbi is the Rabbi, right? The Rabbi. That's like the symbol of Samuch. So the Marsha says a very fascinating thing. He says, he has two answers. The second answer is, the wrong gears of the Gemara. It should really say Rav and not Rebbe. Okay. But the interesting first answer is, when the Gemara says Korale Rebbe, it doesn't say Rebbe Ploni or Rebbe Almoni. It's simply Korale Rebbe. The idea is that the status of being one of the Chachmei HaMesorah alone doesn't share with anything else. You can call Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshia, you can call them Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yoshia, that's okay. But what they didn't have, the Siyata Dishmaya, to achieve was simply to be Karele Rebbe. In other words, Rebbe isn't just, you know, a way to signify that the person got smicha. It basically captures, embodies what smicha itself is. And that is somebody who stands in the Mesorah that goes all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua to the Zkenim, etc. At the same time, Nasan lo Rishus ladun dine knasos. In other words, there is a status and a stature, a din in the gavra, right? And at the same time, there's a license, there's a function. Not only who he is, but what his job is, and that it's to be more hora. It's always fascinating to me, I'll just tell you my pet theory, that why ladun dine knasos? I mean, the truth is, smicha is a prerequisite also for dine nefashos. I would think that dine nefashos is much more significant, it is much more significant than dine knasos in every way. The ability, right, to adjudicate capital crimes, both symbolically and substantively, far more crucial, you know, than imposing chi of kefal and dalad v'hei, or shloshim shalevet. But I think the idea is, this is another topic, that dine knosos are the power of bezdin. Dine nefashos are a clarification. You require a higher degree of certainty in order to be done dine nefashos, because obviously nothing, you know, more significant, you know, than a human life, and that's literally, you know, what hangs in the balance and what's at stake. So, without smicha, there's no dine nefashos. But dine knosos symbolizes the koach of the diet, the practical koach of the diet. Asher yarshion elokim veloha marshia es atzmo, and other indications in the sugya of knas establish that the dayanim create the knas, in a way. There is no chiyuv or even bar chiyuva, right, prior to the psak din of the dayan. So in a way, the Gemara accentuates two different, very different, components in rabbinic authority. One is the gavra, the stature, who he is, what he stands for, and the other is what his function is, and how he's supposed to lead, the impact that he's supposed to have on the Jewish community in a more pragmatic way. And the question is, what is the relationship of these two things? If you look carefully in Bamidbar, Chav Zayin, Tez Zayin, I know I had that here, in the Parsha of Smicha, Chav Zayin, Tez Zayin, just one second, there are actually two Parshios of Smicha. It seems clear, again, in the Torah, that the emphasis is not on function, but on the status of the individuals involved. Vaydaber Moshe el Hashem lemor, Yifkod Hashem elokei raruchos l'chabasar isha la'eda. Asher yetze lifnehem, asher yavo lifnehem, asher yotziem, asher yivyem, v'loti adas Hashem katzon asher en lahem ro'eh. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha es Yehoshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo, v'samachta es yadcha alav. Klal Yisrael is looking for a leader, not somebody to carry out or execute specific functions, but leadership, asher yavo lefneim, asher yetze lefneim, to lead them as they journey to a very special path, to be an Am Segula. So what should you do? Take Yehoshua, ish asher ruach bo, not a political leader. I mean, he will be a political leader. But the sine qua non for Jewish political leadership is the Yoresh of Moshe Rabbeinu. Isha sharuach bo. The samachta es yadcha alav. Symbolically, literally putting your hand on him as if to transmit some of the aura of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua. V'amadato oso lefnei Elazar HaKohen. The Rabbeinu Shalom's response to Moshe Rabbeinu's more pragmatic question is you need somebody asher ruach bo, you need smichas yadayim, he has to stand in the presence of those, the Keser Kahuna, right? Elazar HaKohen, V'lifnei Kol Eda V'tzivisa Oso Le'ineyem. V'nasata Mehodka Alav, literally, you pass some of your luster, your aura to him. L'man Yishmu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod, V'sholo B'mishpat Ha'uri L'fnei Hashem. Al Piv Yetzo Al Piv Yavo, Hu V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito V'chol Ha'ida. Meaning, of course, he will serve the function of pragmatic and political and even military leadership. But who is he? He's somebody that can receive the hod of Moshe Rabbeinu, the smicha b'yadayim of Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody who stands in the presence of Elazar HaKohen, ish asher ruach bo. And the same is true in the other parsha, in Baloscha, Perikid Aleph, again, smicha of the Zakenim. All this implies that first and foremost comes the gavra, the status of the individual, etc. Of course, smichas Yoshua is unique. Yoshua was a Navi. The Rambam himself, when he speaks about the smicha of Yoshua, very beautifully emphasizes the aspect of Hashuas Hashchina. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, tells us, second, Echad Bezin Agadol Sanhedrin Katano Bezin Shol Gimel Tzrichin Sheyeh Kol Echad Mehem Samuch Mipi Samuch Moshe Rabbeinu Samach Yehoshua Bayad Shenemar Beyismuch Es Yadav Alav Vayitzaveyu. The Chena Shivim Skenim, Moshe Rabbeinu Samcham, Visharas Aleim Shechina. The Osanas Kenim, Samchu Lacherim, Bacherim Lacherim, Nimso Asmuchim, Ishmi Pish, Ad Bezdino, get back to this, Shel Yoshua, Ad Bezdino, Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam, even though it's Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, it's focused on being a Dayan and the Bezdin system with its hierarchy. Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel, Bezin Shel Gimel, right, each in its domain of activity. And yet, when the Rambam talks about the history of Smicha, he adds two seemingly gratuitous, not incorrect or inaccurate Kalila, but what are they doing here? Two facts, which upon, again, further reflection, are critical. One is this idea of Hashuas Hashchina, the Sheres Aleim Shchina. The second is, when he describes the smicha, which affects classical Dayanim, classical smicha, he could have simply said that that smicha has its origins in Yoshua, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was Somech Yoshua B'Yadayim. After that, it was only Yoshua was Somech everyone else, B'liyadayim. But the language of the Rambam is so fascinating, is that everything is traced back to both. Nimso asmuchim ish mipi ish, ad bezdino shel Yoshua. He could have stopped there, right? Then he adds, ad bezdino shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? He could have said, all smicha goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Or all smicha goes back to Yehoshua, if you want to be specific about the Adayim part. By saying both, what the Rambam was accentuating was, it's very important to read the Psukim in Bamidbar. It's very important to understand that Smicha, which 90% manifests and expresses itself in Din and Dayanus, is really about the Gavra Samuch, being somebody who is a worthy follower of Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody who is a proper recipient not only of the license of Din, but of Hashuas Hashchina. And therefore, it's critical to know that even if Smicha Belo Yadayim, I should take away my hand, really has its origins only in Yehoshua, but it's important that Yehoshua's link goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was Smicha B'Yadayim, and that Yehoshua was not only a Dayan, but a Navi, and a Manig, and everything else. This is the Rambam's way of accentuating the din of Korilei Rebbe. He's a Rebbe, he's a Dayan, but he's both. So therefore, when the Gemara says both of these things, we need to understand the relationship. There's a major debate among the Rishonim, which may be relevant to this question. The Gemara says, based on the Mishnah and the application of the Gemara on Yud Gimel, expanding the Mishnah, that three are required to bequeath, to bestow smicha. The simple pshat, and this is the view of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Yad Ramah and others, if I tell you that you require three to transmit smicha, the simple pshat is that the three who transmit the smicha are all smuchim. Right? The Rambam has a very fascinating divergence of this view. The Rambam says here in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, that only one of the three needs to be a samuch. The other two can simply be, you know, adjuncts who join for the process of smicha. The ketzad hi asmicha ledoros, lo she yismichu yedeim al rosh hazaken, ela she korin lo rebi, exactly the Gemara's language, the omrim lo harea ta samuch, v'yesh lecha reshus ladun, afilu dine knasas. He repeats the Gemara's exact formulation. And then he says, the ein somchin smicha zu shehi minu yazakenim ledayanus, ela bishlosha, v'hu shiha echad mehen samuch, mipi acherim, kamo shebiarnu. That's a chiddush of the Rambam. You need three for a smicha, right? If you use all the, everything you can around you. You need three to give smicha, but only one needs to be a samuch. And the Raman, Rabbeinu Yonah, disagree. So Rav Velvel, in the Chidush HaGris, makes note of this and says, well, yeah, because there are two completely different dinim here. One din is the act, technically the act of giving, you know, somebody smicha, and that's a maisa bezdin. That requires three people. However, if you had three hedyotos, you know, doing a maisa bezdin, even if you could have hedyotos do a maisa bezdin, in the end of the day, you'd be lacking the most critical component of all. And that is the concept of mesora, of ish mipi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. So you need three people, but one of them has to be a samuch, because if one of them isn't a samuch, there's no chain of the mesora. What Rav Velvel doesn't add, it's a little bit parallel to your Hakdama in this respect, what he challenges us to figure out, I guess, is like, what is the nature of these two different halachas? But it always occurred to me that it's exactly what the Rambam reproduces from the Gemara, and that we accented earlier, which is, what is smicha? Korele Rebbe, v'nasan lo reshus ladun. Korele Rebbe is the idea of mesora. It's the idea of being in an unbroken chain, you know, going back historically to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua, and then ad beis dino shel Yoshua, ad beis dino shel Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where you need the samach. The maisa bezdin is part of nasan lo reshus ladun. And that's exactly where the Rambam introduces the requirement of three. So I think that that's exactly implicitly by his formulation what the Rambam is implying. For the Ramah, for Rabbeinu Yonah, it could be that these are not two different dinim. Maybe they're one halacha. You need three smuchim in order to license you to practice, you know, dayanus, or you need three smuchim dafka, because there can't be a maisa bezdin ladun if that also isn't connected to the concept of mesora. There's a fascinating discussion about the possibility of a partial smicha that is limited in time or functional in scope. Now, this is something that we're all familiar with, you know, but we're familiar with it possibly because of later concepts or iterations of rabbinic authority. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin of that page, Hamad Aleph, that there's something called Yore Yore, Yadin Yadin, Yatir Bechor Yatir. Should really give out Yatir B'chor Yatir more. But the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Aleph tells us that Rabban Bar Bar Chana, ki have a nachas Rabban Bar Chana leBavel. When Rabban Bar Chana came to Bavel, Omele Rab Chia leRebbe, Ben Achi Yared leBavel. He said, my nephew is going down to Bavel. Yora, he asked him, Yora, can he give Hora? Yora. Yadin. Yatir B'choros, Yatir. Kavanochis Rav leBavel, when Rav went down to Bavel, Omele Rab Chia leRebbe, Ben Achosi Yored leBavel, Yora, Yora. Yadin. Yatir B'choros, Al Yatir. Okay. So the Gemara basically says that you can split, right, the scope of authority of of the individual. However, what's fascinating is that this Gemara is not, on the surface at least, talking about smicha. It's talking about the second phase that I mentioned, which we'll get back to, netilas rishus mireish galusa, or from the nasi, which we'll see in a moment, has to do, with malpractice and kfiya and things like that. But what's fascinating is that the Rambam, in Perek Dalet, maybe I'll keep this here, of Hilchos Sanhedrin, applies this very halacha to a partial smicha. When he talks about actual smicha, itself. The Rambam says, here in Perek Dalet, halacha ches, v'yesh lahem limnos l'kol ma sheyirtzu l'dvarim mechidim, referring to smicha, v'hu sheyia roi l'chol advarim, keitzad chacha mufla sheroi l'horos b'chol atorah kula, yesh lebezdin lismocho sovelitin lo reshus l'dun lo l'horos b'hisav heter. O yitn lo lo rishus lahoros piece of a heter lo ladun, right? Dine mominus. O yitn lo rishus lazeh ulazeh av lo lid ladun dine knasos. O ladun dine knasos av lo lahater bechoros bemuman. O yitn rishus lahater nadarim bilvad oliros ksamim. Bechein koki yotze bazeh. No one knows where the Rambam, there's controversy where the Rambam got this halacha. Kesef Mishnah, the Radvaz, and others say, he got it from the Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph that I just quoted. Ignoring the fact that Gemara is referring mostly to Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa regarding, as I say, financial and kviya and other such things. The fact is that the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos and Lechem Mishnah notes this as well, may have actually derive this halacha from the Yerushalmi. But what's fascinating is that the Rambam qualifies this limitation in smicha. As Rambam says, if you want, you can give somebody partial smicha. You can do isav heter, but not mominus, b'choros, not etc. Okay, that's a big chiddush of the Rambam. The question is, though, how is this to be understood? So if you look at the Rambam, in two different places, you get two different impressions. In Pirshei Mishnayos, the Rambam basically says that naturally, smicha is divisible. In other words, each area of halacha is independent. So if I want to give somebody comprehensive smicha, that's the Rambam's language in Pirshei Mishnayos, you have to be looking for it, then you have to express explicitly that, I'm giving Korile Rebbe across the board. I'm giving him, license in all areas of halacha. Comprehensive smicha is the exception. I'm not talking about in terms of frequency, but conceptually. Naturally, it's divisible. But by the time the Rambam got to writing the Yad HaChazakah, his formulation, as I read before, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, you have to be looking for it, is very different. The Rambam says, "V'yesh lahem limnos l'kol ma sheyirtzu l'dvarim mechidim." In other words, if you want, in Mishnah Torah already, the way the Rambam presents it, your authority, your license, is comprehensive. If you want, I could artificially limit it. Why is this important? Because this touches exactly on the bigger issue that we've been discussing, and that is, what is the relationship between the component of Kari Le Rebbe and Nasa Lo Rishus Ladun? Between the individual, the gavra, the stature of being a samuch, of having rabbinic authority, and the actual practical license to implement, to paskin, in different areas. In Pirshei Mishnayos, it seems like the Rambam is acknowledging, listen, not everybody, you know, is equally adept, you know, knowledgeable, experience in all areas of halacha, which of course is always true, especially young Talmud Chacham. People specialize. He's a baki in Erevin, and he's a baki in Mikvos. You know, the special Talmidei Chachamim are obviously have a, you know, comprehensive knowledge, you know, and expertise. But even then, obviously, there's always a you know, an emphasis in one area, you know, more than another, etc. So from a license, from a practicing point of view, the idea that smicha is naturally divisible and only artificially comprehensive is very reasonable. But by the time the Rambam came to writing Yad HaChazakah, which is much later, his more mature, let's say, view, the assumption is that Kari Le Rebbe is indivisible. That if you're a Chachmei Mesorah, then that gives you full license. Because it isn't about the license. That's simply the consequence. It's about being somebody who stands in the tradition and is inspired by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua, and the Chachmei HaMesorah. And therefore, here the Rambam says, if you want to artificially break it down, you could. And this leads to an understanding of another component in the Rambam as well, a bigger chiddush. The Rambam says, "V'yeshlem limnos l'kol ma sheyirtzu l'dvarim yichidim, v'hu sheyia roi l'chol ha'dvarim." The Rambam says, this ability to limit somebody in smicha to a particular, you can't do b'choros. It's very fascinating, I should just mention, because I'm running out of time. The Gemara explains, why couldn't Rav do b'choros? The Gemara actually says that he was a bigger expert than anybody else. One view in the Gemara is that he was such a big expert, they were afraid to let him loose, you know, in paskening, you know, dine b'choros. Because his insight and his intuition and his, you know, acuity in that area was unparalleled. And people might misinterpret his psakim. He just was on a different level. So sometimes you have to protect the tzibor, you know, not from incompetence, but from overcompetence. It's a fascinating idea. Anyways, the Rambam here is Mechadesh, V'yeshlem limnos l'koma sheyirtzev v'hu sheyaroi l'chol ha'dvarim. Keitzad chacham mufla sheroi l'horos b'chol ha'tarakula yesh l'bezdin l'smocho so v'liten l'rishus l'dun lo l'horos yitin l'rishus l'horos b'isav heter lo l'dun. And then later on, the Rambam, based on maybe also the Gemara Daf Hei, says you can also limit him for a time. V'chein yesh l'somchin, this halacha test, liten rishus ad zman. V'lamal l'nismach yesh l'cha rishus l'dun o l'horos ad sheyavo anasi l'kan o kol zman she'in ati manu b'medina v'chein kol ki yotze bazeh. But this idea that in order to receive smicha you have to be roi l'horos b'chol ha'tarakula is a very, you know, significant qualification, but also in addition to being practically very difficult to attain and ensuring, you know, guaranteeing a very high level, in addition to that, of course, it's symbolically tremendously significant as well. And the question again is, where did the Rambam get it from? And again, it seems to be perhaps Yerushalmi and Chagiga. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Bavli. Some of the Nosa Kalim suggest that if you look carefully at the Gemara's about Netilas Rishus, this is implied, you know, as well. If you assume that there's a crossover between those two areas, I'll get back to them in just another minute or so. But Of course, when you take a step back and you think about it, if the Rambam thinks that the divisibility is artificial, or the limitations are artificial, and not only that, but they can only apply to a person who is a gavro, who's roi lahoros b'chala Torah kula, what emerges, again, is an accentuation, not of the practical license, the performance of the task, paskening, but the gavra, chachmei ha-mesora, kari le-rebi. If he's kari le-rebi, he has to be roi lahoros b'chala Torah kula. A very powerful idea. Of course, one which also implies the interconnectedness of all parts of Torah, the idea that the more you learn and what you learn is not merely knowledge, you know, that you apply in cases of psak. Of course, it's also that, but it's knowledge that transforms the religious personality. And as such, being exposed, being roi lahoros b'chala Torah kula, is a sine qua non for good psak in any single area. If you're only going to be mora ra in isur v'heter, you know, being a gavros roi lahoros b'chala Torah kula as a shiur in your stature, as well as in training you, you know, to have an acute, intuitive, and substantive knowledge of the whole system, a feeling for the system, an attunement for the system, becomes an important prerequisite. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the other ones for a minute, just one more second. The idea of smicha, just one final point, classic smicha, can also be unrelated to one specific function as a dayan. That should come as no surprise, given the fact that, especially for the Rambam, but even for the other makoros I've tried to develop, the focus is really on the persona of the Chachmei HaMesora. Moreover, the original smicha of Moshe of Yoshua was very much about leadership and Ashras HaShchina. So when it comes to the Isra of Kilas Dayan, for example, the Shem Elokim, or the Hagdara of Zakein Mamre, which also requires somebody who's Mi Shehigia Lahara Asamuch, these individuals need not have paskened a single shayla. As long as they attain the status of Kari Le-Rebbe and their Roy Lahoros, because this is not a functional halacha, the classical Samuch is an individual of stature, it's a profile in leadership. The other two, I'm going to finish very quickly, not going to do them justice. The other two issues, as I mentioned, are Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa and the Heter from Rabba. Let me just talk about them very quickly. So the Gemara on Daf Hei Omed Aleph, the main Gemara about classical smichas, the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Omed Beis Yud Dalet Omed Aleph in Sanhedrin, the main Gemara about Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa and Minanasi is on Hei Omed Aleph, and we'll see in a moment, Netilas Rishus Mirabba is the Gemara on Daf Hei Omed Beis in Sanhedrin. The Gemara is mistapek in Sanhedrin Daf Hei Omed Aleph. The Gemara says, Iboy lehu, kigon ano de gamirna v'savirna v'nakitna rishusa ava lo nakat rishusa dine lo dina odilma afagav lo nakat rishusa dina dina. The Gemara is mistapek if you don't get licensed by the Reish Galusa, again, the, you know, the authority of the Jewish community, maybe you can't render Dine Torah, possibly even if you're a Samuch. The relationship between Samuch and this is a little unclear, the Ramban and the Ran, but we'll leave it for now. Maybe you can't even Paskin. That's a very extraordinary concept. In the end, the Gemara says that it's not the case. However, Ki lo nakat rishusa dina dina, however, hai man deboi lemeidan dina vita Miboy lemiftera, if you want to be, you know, perceived as an official dayan in terms of the monetary protections, malpractice, etc., lishkol rishusa mibei resh galusa, then you need to be licensed. The truth is that the Rambam, as I mentioned, goes much further. In Perek Dalet, the Rambam transitions from dinei smicha to dinei netilas rishus. Halacha Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet is netilas rishus. There the Rambam says that kfiya bedin, the ability to impose din, requires some sort of netilas rishus, mireish galusa, minanasi, etc. The concept of a partial or a temporary netilas rishus is what the Gemara is really speaking about on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Yore, not yadin, yadin, not yater b'choros, the idea of a temporary, you know, permissibility that, you know, runs out or expires, all that is the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Aleph. So it's very fascinating that in the end of the day, you could have argued that we have two completely different sugyas. The classical smicha is about the gavra, the chachmei ha-mesorah, the persona of the Talmud Chacham and the leader, in all the examples that I gave. Then there's another question, that's a much more pragmatic question, which needs to be addressed in any community, and that is to set up a court system where also there is a level of responsibility, who's licensed, you have to protect the consumer, you have to protect the practitioner, right? All of that requires a certain kind of infrastructure, apparatus, even a bureaucracy, and that's the din of netilas rishus, mireish galusa. You have to get licensed, you know, in order to practice. The reish galusa doesn't know you well necessarily, or the nasi, but he has to give you a stamp of approval, right, for you to be a court licensed, you know, practitioner in the community. But the focus, one could have thought, would have been on the practice. And therefore, the idea of partial or temporary fits perfectly. The idea that, according to the Rambam, even the Tilas Rishus is somehow a paradigm for Roy Lismoch, etc., implies that the Rambam's commitment to the concept of Koreli Rebbe even extends somewhat, and that's why he has them both in the same Perek Dalid, to Netilas Rishus. For the Rambam, even the licensing by the authority represents a level or a stature. He's not only a dayan, he's a court-approved, he's a kehila-approved dayan. It's not a bureaucracy, it's a status in the dayan itself. Tosfos on Daf Hei Amud Aleph suggests that a person who has been licensed by the Reish Galusa has the ability to license others for the Reish, for this level. In other words, for Tashlumin and for Kviya. How does Tosas know this? Tosas says on Hayam and Aleph, well, obviously, you can do this. Alpha Bishutzok, right, 1 second. Abamari Natal Rishus Mirav, Demishi Yesho Rishus Yachalitain Rishus, Ke'inan Shematzino Yud Gimel Amad Beis, Le'inan Dine Knasos, Demishu Samuch Yachalismoch. Very fascinating, Tosas. Tosas says, how do you know that if you're, you know, if you're licensed, you can give somebody else a license? He doesn't have to go to the office of the Reish Galusa. You learn it out from smicha, right? If Moshe gave smicha to Yoshua, Yoshua is allowed to give to whoever he wants. And Yoshua's musmachim can give to whoever they want. But of course, you could have been mechalek, and there are Rishonim who disagree. You could have said, when it comes to this classical smicha, which is mostly about Korile Rebbe, not about practicing. The practicing is a result of the status, of the persona, of the gavra. There, a samuch is masmich. Part of being recognized as and pronounced a chachmei ha-mesorah, right, includes the ability, right, to identify and to transmit to others the title, not just the title, the stature, the status of chachmei ha-mesorah. But if we're talking about more protections, practical aspects of implementing, you know, rules of din in the community, maybe the licensing office is always that of the Reish Galusa. Either way, you can't prove from the gavra-oriented smicha to the function-oriented netilas rishus, unless you assume that either both of them are function-oriented, v'nasan rishus ladun dinei knasos, or as I prefer to think of it, that even the tilas rishus is a status, is part of the persona of a certain kind of dayan, according to the Baalei Tosfos. Indeed, the Rambam, fascinating, in the very end of Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, says that mi she'ena roi ladun mipnei she'ena yodea o she'ena hagun she'ava rosh galus v'nasan rishus o she'to bezim v'nasan lo rishus. If somebody received smicha and he doesn't deserve it because he doesn't have the knowledge or the character for it, it's hard to know how you would know that, but even if he received, you know, licensing from the Reish Galusa's office, Ein HaRashus Mo'eles Lo Klum Ad She'yir Roy Shamaktish Balmum LeMizbeach. This is the Rambam, there's no marker for this. This is the Rambam's global understanding and his own formulation. If you take a Balmum and you try to turn it into a Korban, Ein Kedusha Chol Alav. You can't do the impossible. You can't create a Dayan out of somebody who doesn't have the competence or the character for it. So once again, the Rambam's assuming that the Reish Galusa part also is a function of the Gavra, which according to those who say that he derived the din of Miktas Smicha from the Sugya Daf Hayam and Aleph, fits in as well. Let me conclude with a brief discussion about Netilas Rishus Mirabah. The Gemara says on Daf Hayam and Beis that why do you need license, when it comes to Yoreh, Iser V'Heter? After all, typically there isn't as much, Dina Mominus involved in that. So what's the license? What's the need for Rishus when it comes to that particular halacha? So the Gemara says on Daf Hayam and Aleph, the reason that you require Rishus is because of a story that took place. Says the Gemara. Yora Yora Igama Rishus Alamali, the Mishkal, Mishumaisa Shahaya. Netanya Pamachas Holach Rebbe Lamakom Echad, Virab Neadam Shemagavlin Yisoseim Betuma. Rebbe went somewhere and he witnessed that people were, being mafresh challah, they were preparing their challah with kalim that were ritually impure, tmeim, details are not important right now, and they were being megabel the isos betuma. So amalahem ibnei matem megabel isosayichem betuma. He said, why are you doing that? You're ruining, you're being metame the challah. Amarlo, they said, talmud echad balikan. They sent over one of the talmidim here, one of those Torah tours or whatever it was. V'hora lanu me betzayim ein machshirin, and he gave a drasha and he said me betzayim ein machshirin, but who me beitzim darsh lehu. The Talmud really said me beitzim, meaning the liquid that comes out of from the egg is not machshir for tumah. They didn't hear beitzim. He had a bit of an accent or whatever it was, or he was speaking, inarticulately. He said, "May betzaim." They thought, water from the river. Beinu sover may betzaim kamar beto. And not only that, but they also thought that may krumyon and may piga were psulim mipnei shehein may betzaim. Beinu sover middle gabe chatos psili akshurai nami lama. Another issue when it comes to vatara and mayim chayim. Says the Gemara, therefore, Ba'osa Shah Gazru Talmud al Yoreh Elim Kein Noto Rishus Mirab. Some people think this is the smicha of our time. The Ramah in Yoredeya, Reish Mem Beis, I'm not going to read it, it's too late, thinks, based on the Rivash, that the smicha Bizmanenu is based on this Gemara of Talmud al Yoreh Elim Kein Noto Rishus Mirab. So I want to say two things. The story, of course, is tamua. It's shocking. Right? It sounds like, he should have gone to, homiletics. Is that the right? Homiletics class or SR, whatever it is. And what? So modern smicha is homiletics? Some people think that. But it's really, really wrong. It couldn't be more wrong. However, there is, of course, something to it as well. And that is that it's not just a question of, guaranteeing, securing, that, the people with proper verbal skills, will be in positions of leadership, so you can avoid, miksha. it's a much bigger issue, and that is the question of achrayus and, you know, responsibility for a tzibur. What the Gemara is telling us is that you need quality control, and that doesn't come even from the bureaucracy of the Nasi or the Reish Galusa. It comes from the Rabbeim, who know their Talmidim, who know their character. The story is a story about articulation. But the issue isn't an issue of articulation. The issue is an issue of clarity and responsibility. What the Gemara says is, you need quality control to ensure, from a character point of view, from an articulation point of view, from a, you know, a willingness, you know, to work hard, to invest, you know, so that the tzibor, not only is it nichshal, but they're given proper guidance, that they're inspired, they're motivated properly. All this requires an additional level of licensing, not bureaucratic, but Talmud al Yoreh, Elim Keinato Rishus Mirab. The interesting thing is that there's a huge debate, this I conclude, Rabbi Schreier mentioned a little bit, very touchingly in his Hakdama, what kind of halacha is this? So there are some Rishonim, the Rajba in the name of the Ravid, others, who see it as a kind of a smicha, a third phase of smicha, in a way. There's a tshuva of the Ramah, where the Ramah wonders whether the smicha bizmanenu of Netilas Rishus also doesn't require, at least lechatchila, roi lahoros b'chol atarakula. The smicha numbers would go down, they'd plummet, but so we don't do that. But, of course, the ideal is something which, of course, is very very appealing. The Rajba in the name of the Rai would say, if a person has two Rabbeim, right? So does he need permission from both? One is enough, according to the Ravid, because we need to license him. He's licensed by his Rebbe. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Beis actually equates this din of Netilas Rishus Mirabo, like the present-day smicha, with some of the halachos that the Gemara establishes for at least the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Aleph, if not smicha. The idea that a nismach is kofuf to the masmich to some extent. So that applies bizmanenu. Where does it come from? The Gemara. It's based on the Tshuva of the Marik. It's based on the Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph of Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa. Again, the mixing and matching of these different sources. The Gemara Tosa seems to say that the Rav Ha'ir has like veto power on giving Rishus for somebody to paskin. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Marik, paskins that with regard to Netilas Rishus Mirabo. Again, Marik says the Makar is the Gemara in Daf Hei, maybe the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel, etc. The more weighty evidence is that mostly this is a din in Kvod Rabbah. The Rambam doesn't quote this halacha at all in Perek Dalid Hilchos Sanhedrin. That's where he has classic smicha and Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa and Min Hanasi. He quotes it exactly in Perek Hei of Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he talks about Kvod Talmud Chacham generally and the additional elements of Kvod Rabbah. I'm not going to read it because it's late and I want to finish, but this, in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Reish Tes, and in Perek Hei Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam speaks, you know, very movingly, based on other chazals. Misha cholek in Rabo ke cholek min Ashkina, Misha maharer achar Rabo ke maharer achar Ashkina, and part of that is Misha koveya midrasho and Misha hora hora beli rishus Rabo, right, is kemevaza Rabo ke cholek im Ashkina, etc. The Rambam's view is that this halacha, this third, what we sometimes call smicha, modern smicha, is very much rooted in Kvod Rabbah. And indeed, there are huge nafkamina. According to the Rambam, it's pretty clear if you look at the language. You know, let's say Mace Rabbah. He doesn't have a Rebbe. He wouldn't need this. According to the Ravid and the Rajba and others, he would, because he needs to be licensed. But if it's just a matter of Kvod Rabbah, then it depends if he has a Rebbe. According to the Rambam, it's conceivable if he has more than one Rebbe, he has to get rishus from all of his Rabbeim, the serious the Rabbeim, the Rebbe Muvak, Rebbe Shena Muvak would not be included. Something which is Ba'akroi maybe wouldn't be included, etc. And there's even discussion to be mechalek between different levels of hora, din, hora, which is better, which is worse, etc. But I think that at the end of the day, even though the Shulchan Aruch itself is kind of an amalgam of these two shittas. On the one hand, they project the idea of Kvod Rabbo as Kvod Rabbo. That's what Simen Reish Mem Beis in Yoredeya is. And they seamlessly integrate that with some of the halachos that I mentioned before that imply that this is a kind of a form of smicha, certainly the smicha of Ashkenaz. And I think that what that implies is the same idea, an extension of the idea that I just mentioned in the Gemara itself. What looks like a narrow halacha, oh, you can't let somebody loose on the community if he doesn't have good skills of articulation, the Gemara. Or an excessive, you know, concern for Kavod Rabbo, right? Which is Talmud al Yorelim Keinat al Rishus Mirabo for the Rambam, Udiime. In the end of the day, is also about ensuring substantively the character and also the profile of Manhigus B'Yisrael. People have to understand that there is no Dvarim Ketanim. It's not just a question of how you speak. When you're in a position of authority and saying Mei Betzayim or Mei Beitzim has consequences, Lahalacha, that's something that you have to, you know, lose sleep over. That's something that you have to, you know, take measures, you know, to control. If the Talmud Chacham, you know, who is going to be Mora Hora, doesn't have an exaggerated sense of kavod for his Rebbe Muvak, then obviously that's a character flaw. How can somebody perceive himself in the self-image of Mesorah, right, if he's not moved, right, if he doesn't have that sense of appreciation and that sense of identification, you know, with the people who contributed, you know, to inspiring him to embrace the destiny of being a manig b'Yisrael. Again, I say this not as a Rebbe, but as a Talmud of my own Rebbeim, for whom I feel that is certainly true. So in the end of the day, there are three levels that we speak of. There's the classical smicha, there's the netilas rishus mireish galusa and min anasi, and then there's netilas rishus mirabo. And there's debate about all three, about the relationship between what I'm calling status and function, the gavra and the actual program, the job, if you will. But at the end of the day, I think that the evidence is overwhelming that all three of these are rooted in the classic original, the idea of Ish Mipi Ish Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's all about character and that profile and the ability really to conduct oneself, the measure of integrity and responsibility, empathy to a community that really draws from all three of these. And that's what the Marsha meant when he said, Karele Rebbe, without anything further. That's something that requires a self-image of the Mesorah. In the end of the day, Karele Rebbe is the most foundational aspect of choosing a rabbi, of being a rabbi in a community. The idea of Moshe, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Yoshua, the sense of Mesorah, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holy to Yitzchak. Some of my students are here, they've heard me speak about this many times. Yitzchak and Avram could not be more different in their personalities. But Yitzchak Avinu's greatness began his ability to be different within the Mesorah, so that we could say Elokei Yitzchak was all about the self-image that he had of Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holid as Yitzchak. He could be different because he identified first and foremost as the same. And that's what Ish Mipi Ish begavra is, a walking Sefer Torah. But there also is the component of nasan l'rishus ladun dinei knasos. And that also is connected to tashlumin and kfiya and being be'urav ben abrios and having proper relationship with the licensing authority, the ability to articulate values, to do the job, to properly and responsibly implement the license of psak. And in the end, of course, that is mutually enhancing, Korile Rebbe Nosan Rashus, being a licensed practitioner with the approval of the Nasi and the Resh Galusa. And finally, there is the concept of Rishus Rabbah, which is about achrayos, clarity, responsibility, not primarily linguistic, that's just an example, but of somebody who has the capacity to respond idealistically with integrity to pragmatic challenges, to convey Torah in each generation according to the opportunities and challenges. So, again, just to conclude, you know, Schreier is a young but already accomplished Talmud Chacham, and someone I think who, together with this Kehillah, is poised to make great contributions to Jewish life. As I say, I think it's really such an exciting partnership to lead in promoting the role and the impact of Talmud Torah Derabim and the values that flow therefrom, as well as to continue the legacy of this Kehillah's sense of halachic responsibility, integrity. He can lead with character and with empathy. And therefore, we should be confident that this will be a successful Shudfis and Shidduch. Mazel tov. It's really very special for me to be participating in all of this. Thank you.
Do you have a menu of Amar who's there?